Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. When it comes to legalizing marijuana for recreational use here in Massachusetts, most public officials are against it. Governor Charlie Baker, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, House Speaker Robert DeLeo, and Attorney General Maura Healey all say they would vote no on a possible ballot initiative next November. And on Monday, the chair of the Special Senate Committee on Marijuana, State Senator Jason Lewis, told us that he, too, is against legalizing pot in the Commonwealth.
Opening the door to legalization will no doubt send a message that marijuana is safe. It will likely lead to more young people, even more than today, using the product. And opening the door to a commercial market is then going to lead to advertising and marketing and celebrity sponsorships and many of the strategies that we have seen used by the tobacco industry in the past.
Now, Lewis spent months looking into this subject, including traveling to Colorado, where recreational pot is legal. So that's what we're going to do right now by welcoming Colorado's Director of Marijuana Coordination, Andrew Friedman. He joins us from Colorado Public Radio. Andrew Friedman, welcome to Radio Boston, and thank you for doing this. We're very grateful to have you.
A real pleasure to be here.
So, listeners, we want you involved in this conversation. This is your chance to ask questions of Colorado's marijuana czar, which has legalized recreational pot. You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Let me start with just a very basic question. Colorado voters overwhelmingly passed legal recreational marijuana 2012. How's it been going? What's the very quick sort of two or three sentence report card just to get us started?
Yeah, I would say the rollout has generally aligned with voters' visions. I think they thought you could walk into a store that not dissimilar to a liquor store, maybe in fact even more regulated than a liquor store, that you could walk in and you could purchase and it could be a safe and somewhat friendly and normal experience. I think that has worked as people have planned and what they visioned. The long term, how commercialization is going to look, how the more complex problems will work out, I think that's still a discussion that's ongoing.
Mm. Let me just throw a couple of these concerns at you from Senator Jason Lewis, who we spoke to here earlier this week. Opening the door to legalization will no doubt send a message that marijuana is safe. It will likely lead to more young people, even more than today, using the product. Has that been borne out in Colorado?
So far, that has not shown up in our data. We generally see that those that used marijuana before legalization are the same people, both adults and youth, that are using it post-legalization without any statistically significant difference. But I think what Senator Lewis was referring to is over time with commercialization and normalization, that might change. And it might take 5-10 years to show up in data, but that it would be a very real concern.
Mm. If there are concerns, if you do have concerns out there, what is the biggest one that sort of continues to nag at you about legalization of marijuana or a challenge that you're sort of trying to sort through? Is there one that floats to the top of the list?
Yeah, I would say that advertising and commercialization is definitely in profit motives that are what keep me up at night. That I think Coloradans have come together very well in the short term to come up with systems that protect public safety, public health, keep it out of the hands of kids. I worry as the industry starts to consolidate over time, as industry members get kind of more access to nuanced data, that they start to learn how to get people more addicted and how to get people addicted at a younger age, that's a possible path forward that I think we're going to have to work really hard to make sure that's not what Colorado looks like.
Well, you bring up a big question that I'd like to ask you about. How has Colorado addressed concerns about addiction and marijuana addiction? I know there's still a lot of study that needs to happen, but there seems to be a body of study sort of coalescing around the idea of marijuana addiction.
So first of all, a significant portion of our money, the tax revenue that we take in from marijuana sales goes towards addiction treatment. And second, that we are working on public education campaigns that really do talk about what is responsible use and talking about, hey, there are, just like alcohol and just like a lot of other things, you can take this to the point that you might lose your job, you might break up your family, and those very real consequences have to be talked about, and we have to give people alternatives to that.
Yeah. I'm curious to know sort of what in a word or two is the biggest reason for states going ahead with legalization? Is the idea that we're sort of moving in this direction anyway? It's inevitable. There are going to be referenda one way or another, so the state should jump in, get a handle on it, and try to do the best job it can with regulation. Is that sort of the best argument in favor?
So to me it is. I hear two arguments, and as you mentioned, it's always a vote of the people as it's been so far. It's very rarely going through the legislature being signed by the governor, and that's the way it was in Colorado. I hear both that it's a response to the war on drugs, that people feel that the war on drugs has been a big failure, that we're creating cartels, that we're creating a lot of criminal action, and that people would like to move away from that and stop regulating this behavior or criminalizing this behavior in this way. I do also hear a lot of people kind of salivating over the tax revenue, which I do push back against because, in Colorado last year, the calendar year, we brought in around $100 million in tax revenue, which sounds like a really big number. People have to realize about 40% of that goes back into regulation. $60 million that goes to things like school construction or, as I mentioned earlier, substance abuse treatment. It's just you have to remember that it's a $27 billion budget in Colorado. And so when you talk about scale, it's not the sort of numbers that are coming in that are going to be able to pay teachers or pave roads. And I do think some people had that idea in mind when they were looking to regulate marijuana as well.
Sure. Listeners, we're talking to Andrew Friedman. He's Colorado's Director of Marijuana Coordination. Colorado, of course, a state that has legalized recreational marijuana. Massachusetts voters could be facing a question whether to legalize marijuana in similar ways in November. So we're talking to him, taking your questions at 800-423-8255. Let's go to Dave, who is calling from Quincy. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very well. What's your question?
My question is twofold, but they both deal with the same thing. Schools. How do you address students using school in like the high school or middle schools and parents picking up their kids? Are they high coming to school? What's the discussion in Colorado on those topics? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you very much.
Dave, thanks for the question. Andrew Friedman, take it away.
So obviously youth use and particularly how it shows up in schools is a major concern for the governor and for even for people who were in favor of legalizing marijuana. So I will say the first thing that we need is better data on it, and we've been working on how to get better data on it, is do we actually see a difference in use patterns because it's legal, or is it that people are generally using the same way? So far, it's there hasn't been a clear story from data. Our youth surveys show that about the same type of number of people are using marijuana in kids as they before legalization as post legalization. But again, we put a lot of our funding to this, so we have behavioral health specialists in schools now to be able to identify and help at-risk people. And as far as parents showing up, whether or not they're showing up high, we get some anecdotal reports of that from school resource officers, but nothing that looks like an epidemic at this point. And so we're trying to keep a very even keel about these things, that you have to start thinking about this a lot like you'd think about alcohol. Is it appropriate to show up driving your car drunk to pick up your kid, or is that a sign that something's going wrong and that you need a further level of assistance and treatment?
One of the questions that the critics raise here is the very issue of driving under the influence, and that the argument here is that there is no sort of clear way to define that with marijuana use and driving. How has Colorado sorted that out?
So I think what that's a reference to is, unlike alcohol, where if you have 0.08 in Colorado, if you have 0.08 percentage alcohol in your blood, that's a per se indicator that you are driving drunk. Here, you can have marijuana in your system for much longer after you've used, and you might not be feeling the intoxicating effects of it in the same way. So here we've said that both if you have 5 nanograms of marijuana in your bloodstream, and you're showing signs of intoxication, that put together, that's an inference that you are driving while high. Now that's it's a lot more intense fact seeking than figuring out if someone's driving while drunk. And so most often, especially if it's both things, a police officer would much rather go after a DUI than what is called a DUID. That being said, we've trained officers in drug to become drug recognition experts in Colorado. Our Colorado State Patrol for the last 2 years have had a significant portion of their officers trained for this. The good news is that we did not see an uptick between 2014 and 2015 of people driving while high. That's just 1 year of data difference, but it was heartening to see that.
All right. Well, let's take a call from Noah, who has a question that's sort of related to what we've been talking about here. Noah, you're on the air with Andrew Friedman. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if the amount of car accidents increased in Colorado after marijuana was legalized.
Thanks, Noah. What do you think, Andrew?
So the short answer is yes. The amount of car accidents have increased this previous year. What I caution everybody against is the difference between correlation and causation here. I think if you talk to our Department of Transportation, they'll say, yeah, we've seen an increase in traffic accidents that's bucked the trend of the last couple of years of where we've actually seen a decrease. But we also saw a decrease in gas prices over the last year as well, a very significant one. And so they believe that the majority of what you're seeing right now is that people are just spending more time on the road, traveling further distances, getting in their vehicles more frequently, which would lead to greater accidents. And they would caution that it's going to take 5-10 years to be able to see long-term trend data to see if marijuana is being used more and if it's causing accidents more.
Listeners, we're talking to Andrew Friedman. He's Colorado's Director of Marijuana Coordination. We're using this opportunity to get some idea of some of the questions and some of the concerns about legalizing pot in Massachusetts that voters in this state could well be facing in November. So give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Patrick, who's calling from Cohasset. Patrick, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I'm real concerned about this issue. And the question I have, as you know, we have a serious, serious opioid problem in our state. And thankfully, our legislature has passed some legislation that will help. What is the opioid problem in Colorado? Because I believe that marijuana for medicinal use is fine, but it's definitely a gateway drug. And tell me about the opioid and the number of overdoses happening in your state.
Patrick, I think it's a good question. Before Andrew Friedman answers, though, I think I want to just sort of insert here that I think there's still some debate about whether marijuana is or isn't a gateway drug to opioids. But I take your point, Andrew Friedman, in a state that's working hard, battling a deadly opioid addiction crisis, it does seem like there's sort of some dissonance about, on the one hand, we're battling an opioid crisis. On the other, we're on the verge of legalizing recreational pot. So I understand where Patrick's question is coming from.
Yeah, and I fear that I'm going to start sounding like a wet blanket here as far as in the terms of what data can tell us at this point. But it's an important point that, we've long-term seen a trend of increasing opioid use in Colorado that's somewhat flatlined over the last couple of years, but is still a growing concern in Colorado. I think it'd be far too early to link that to marijuana legalization, because I think that would be drawing the conclusion that somebody that wouldn't have otherwise used marijuana is now using marijuana, and within the period of 24 months would then decide that marijuana was not enough and to go to opioid use. The other thing that we want to look for in data is there's a possibility of a substitution effect that a lot of pro-marijuana legalization people argue that perhaps marijuana is less addictive than the opioids that they're prescribed, and that if people had marijuana as a substitute, it could be a healthier option for them. I'm not saying that is true or not. It's just it's worthwhile to see where the data bears out for that.
Sure. Patrick, thanks for the question. It's an important one. Let's go to Marco, who's calling from East Boston. Marco, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for getting my call. So my question is, do you have any data on the direct correlation between legalizing marijuana and lower criminal rates, lower criminal activity related to drug trafficking of marijuana?
Marco, interesting question. Andrew Friedman, what about that?
So there was obviously a very dramatic decrease in the number of people arrested for marijuana-related activities, especially the first year. It dropped by about two-thirds, as I think you would expect, because frankly, most of the criminal activity surrounding marijuana was no longer illegal. You know, our evidence is that there that again, there aren't very many new entrants in the adult use market coming in. And so every dollar that's being spent in the regulated market, I think the good news is a significant portion of that dollar is necessarily being taken out of the black or gray market. That doesn't obviously include whether or not there's an out-of-state diversion problem where marijuana is being grown in Colorado and sold to other states. But in terms of internal drug, both trafficking and selling, the black and gray markets that you might see here, I think there's some good theory behind the fact that a regulated market does over time start to capture that.
Hmm. Andrew Friedman, what's the, you know, as I've mentioned several times, you're talking to a state that's going to that's debating this and could be taking it on in a big way in November. What's the biggest piece of advice you give to other states based on the experience out there in Colorado?
So I obviously get called about this quite often. I have a number of things that I think if we could wave our magic wand and start a little bit differently, I think at least from my point of view, we would. And the first is that I think because of the way these things have been rolling out so organically, that we've started a lot with how to allow for home grows, to allow for growing outside of the licensed arena. I think once you start up the licensed arena, you really do have to find a way to run almost everything through that. And I would really say over the first couple of years, make sure you get your license system up and running and that it's the only legitimate system. And that way you can track every marijuana plant from seed to sale. Every time you think you need to make some sort of change along the way, you have your regulatory bodies that can do that. Everything in the unlicensed market, you lack those controls in the opening year. The other thing I would say is, again, the slower you can start with things like advertising, the better off you can be. And so if you want to discuss things like, should we have a paid-for-advertising moratorium? Should we not allow for billboards? The sort of things of how do we keep this kind of as controlled as possible while we're seeing these effects play out, while we're watching data come in, and so that we haven't set up a system that then is harder to unwind than what we started with.
Well, Andrew Friedman, he is Colorado's Director of Marijuana Coordination. We've really appreciated having you. Thanks for talking to our listeners and talking about a whole host of important issues that I know this state is struggling to figure out. So many thanks for having you. It's been a real pleasure.
I've been happy to be part of the conversation. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, the Yemenite Israeli band AWA performs live in our studio. Stay with us. That's just ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.